think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
No one feels very comfortable on the Democratic side of things that Donald Trump isn't going to be the next president.
Well, I don't think that nobody feels. I think many of us know that it's impossible for him to be the president again with what he is proposing. Well, because when you're talking about what he's talking about now is more tax cuts for corporate America, taking them down so low to the detriment of our budget and meeting the needs of people. But people have to know. I have said over and over again, President Lincoln said, public sentiment is everything.
Right.
With it, you can accomplish almost anything. Without it, practically nothing. But public sentiment has to be informed. People have to know. So we can talk more about what he has done, what it means at the kitchen table for people to have lower costs for prescription drugs, lower costs for health care, because it's not just about their good health. It's about their financial health and security as well. And instead of just talking about why aren't they doing more, we are and we will.
We are and we will. Nancy Pelosi on a CNN interview saying, we don't have everything exactly right for you, but we will be doing more. We plan to, and we will. Give us another 4 years. No. I'm giving some credit to the CNN anchor asking and saying, most everyone thinks is that Trump is going to win. And, of course, she was going, no, that's not true. Most of us don't think he's going to win. Well, I don't know what polls or surveys she's looking at and considering, and I'm not saying that those are definitive and that whatever they state in there is the way the election's going to go, but these are big margins. These are not, you know, within a margin of error, like they say, on any candidate Trump would face, either in the primary or a general, in a matchup with Biden in a general election. But let her live in the land of fantasy. I mean, most Democrats live that way anyway. They are all about continuing to do what we can to label him a MAGA extremist. And let me remind you of something. MAGA simply means make America great again. Do you not want America to be great again? Which means the economy would be great again. Gas prices would be lower again. We would have more oil and gas production starting up daily. We would have less tension in the world, possibly. We would have it exactly the way it was when Donald Trump stood there and Joe Biden took the oath of office. And look where we are now. And what they want to do on the left is continue to say, well, we're just getting started. Do you remember how many years they took to say that the economy was messed up strictly because of George Bush when Barack Obama came in? They were always looking for a scapegoat for it. Some of it would have been acceptable, but they reach a point where they overplay their hand. And we all know you're bluffing. Ah, let me correct that. You're lying. Thanks for joining us. Here we are, January 12, 2022, and reminding you when we're on the air for you every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. We're also streaming video at Newstalk STL Facebook, Twitter, Rumble, and also Larry Connors USA Facebook, Twitter, and Rumble. If you miss any of it, you can also go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com. Pull it up, listen, watch at your pleasure. Also exists at Larry Connors USA Facebook. There's no way for you to avoid it if you're trying to find it. And when you do, push that share button. Send it along to someone else. Help wake them up. We need more Americans awake as to what is happening in our country right now. I've got a story coming up in this hour that is just, it's going to turn your stomach, and yet at the same time, it's become normal. It is not normal It is not normal, but apparently those on the left are willing to accept it as the new normal for America. I am not, because it involves our children. And if you are that sincere and dedicated to protecting our children from child predators, not just those touching them, trying to grope them, but get inside their mind, stand with us. Share these programs with others. So there was another question that the anchor decided to raise with Pelosi, and in this case, he's already had his response that she says, most people, she says, do not think Trump can win. And then he says, well, here's your wish list of what you would like, and yet how do you balance that with your wish list and the reality?
Do you wish he was not, I don't mean out giving campaign speeches more, I just mean out more, talking in interviews, talking on the ground, doing rope lines. We just haven't seen as much of that.
Well, you know what? The president has the weight of the world on his shoulders. He's the president of the United States, a very challenging job. There are only so many hours in the day. And I trust his judgment that when now people are starting to pay attention. You know, again, you can be saying things and people are busy living their lives, raising their families, doing their jobs. It's a tough time. So you want to spend the time talking to them when they're ready to listen.
When they're ready to listen. And then they'll listen to what we tell them. No, they're not. And he was, of course, saying, don't you think Biden needs to be out there more? Well, look, there's so many hours in the day. Nancy, my dear woman, there are 24 hours in each day. That's how many hours are in each day. How many hours each day is Joe Biden actually working? Or let me put it this way. You said he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders. Does he know that? I do not wish ill for the president. I do not. But if he's incapable, he should not be there. And if Donald Trump were president right now in the same situation we're seeing Biden, I'd say the same thing. Now, this is the test of loyalty for you as to how ethical you want to be. Are you a Trump supporter, dyed-in-the-wool Trump supporter forever and ever? Are you willing to admit that if Trump had the capacity or lack of what we're seeing in Joe Biden, would you say he is not capable of holding office? Not talking about any of the charges against him. Not talking about his mouth or the tweet machine going crazy. I'm just asking on that basis. If you're honest, if you're really looking at objectively what we need to have happen for our nation and therefore the world, you would agree that no, Trump should not be in there. Now, I know some have already jumped the shark and said, well, Trump's crazy. Of course he shouldn't be in there. They're the same ones that were saying when he first ran, if he got his hand on the trigger, my God, it'd blow the world up. It didn't happen. There was peace in the valley. Now, I want to go back as we began the program because I want you to hear again, now that you've heard Nancy defend why Biden has so much on his plate and it's so difficult and there's so many hours in the day, he can't really get out and campaign, and we'll do it when people are ready to listen. We'll see about that. But I want to go back to the anchor simply raising the question that many just don't think Biden has a chance anyway and that Trump is going to win.
No one feels very comfortable on the Democratic side of things that Donald Trump isn't going to be the next president.
Well, I don't think that nobody feels. I think many of us know that it's impossible for him to be the president again with what he is proposing. Well, because when you're talking about what he's talking about now is more tax cuts for corporate America, taking them down so low to the detriment of our budget and meeting the needs of people. But people have to know. I have said over and over again, President Lincoln said, public sentiment is everything.
Right.
With it, you can accomplish almost anything. Without it, practically nothing. But public sentiment has to be informed. People have to know. So we can talk more about what he has done, what it means at the kitchen table for people to have lower costs for prescription drugs, lower costs for health care, because it's not just about their good health, it's about their financial health and security as well. And instead of just talking about why aren't they doing more, we are, and we will.
Yeah. Again, a promise of what we'll do if we had another 4 years. And, of course, these cases, they continue to throw up on the wall and say, see, this is why you cannot elect Trump. What if he's facing all these charges and indictments while he's running for the election? They are ignoring, the Hunter Biden scandal and how it ties into the family as a whole. And if you still think that Joe Biden has been unaware of all of this, with all due respect, and I say this with all due respect, you're a stupid fool. You really are. There's no way Biden did not know about this. Now, whether or not he got anything out of it, there's no proof to that. But if you think he knew nothing about what Hunter Biden was doing, Jamie Raskin decided today he wants to go after Donald Trump on something else. You know, this money, since they're all questioning money that Biden might have gotten from foreign governments. We know that Trump did. He got something like $7.8 million. But he got it not just selling his name, but his properties housing different governments. When they came, they wanted to stay in a Trump Tower, Trump Palace, whatever. That's revenue generated by something real. Not Hunter saying, hey, I can get you access to daddy. Big difference. All right, last night, finally, the U.S. decided we are going to destroy anyone targeting our military or merchant shipping in the Red Sea or anywhere else.
The U.S. and the U.K. are using, they're using jets, they're using warships, as well as submarines to strike at least 60 targets at 16 different Houthi military sites in Yemen overnight, hitting air defense systems, weapons facilities, and launch sites.
This military action comes in response to the Iranian-backed group, Houthis, repeated attacks on commercial ships in the Red Sea, making it very dangerous for them to travel and endangering international trade. Since November 19th, the Houthis have launched 27 attacks as they try to stage a blockade of Israel.
So the Houthis not backing down, the group saying the U.S. and U.K., quote, committed foolishness with this treacherous aggression, and they were wrong if they thought that they would deter Yemen from supporting Palestine and Gaza.
Now, that was a complete Fox report on the U.S. firing back, hitting targets in Yemen, going after the Houthis. U.S. and British militaries bombing more than a dozen sites using warship and submarine-launched Tomahawk missiles and fighter jets. The reaction from the Houthis is, America and British enemy bears full responsibility for its criminal aggression against our Yemeni people. It will not go unanswered and unpunished. Well, retired four-star Army General Jack Keane said, this is the start.
Well, this is the most comprehensive attack that we've conducted, since the war in Gaza began. It really quite significant in terms of what they went after. 60 targets, as you mentioned, 16 locations, over 100 precision-guided munitions delivered by air, surface, and subsurface capabilities. And they went after things that we were talking about, not that they're listening to us, but it was comprehensive. Command and control nodes, radar systems, the launch systems themselves, the storage sites for the rockets, missiles, and the drones, and the munitions depots. They're going through bomb damage assessment now to determine how effective this was. They were likely tracking that the Houthis were trying to hide some of this capability for the last few days, but we've got excellent surveillance there, and likely we were able to determine where they were moving a lot of this. They'll finish the assessment. Believe me, I think if there's capability there that's still significant, we should reattack.
Reattack. And I second that, sir. Now, speaking of the assessment, here's an early assessment of the damage we caused, according to Major General Patrick Ryder with the Pentagon.
We targeted specific facilities and capabilities intended to degrade and disrupt the Houthis' ability to conduct the kinds of attacks that we've been seeing. And so we're still conducting the battle damage assessment. Initial indications are that we had good effects. We'll continue to monitor that. So far, we have not seen any kind of retaliatory action on the part of the Houthis, but we're, of course, prepared to respond appropriately. I think it's important to remember how we got here. 27 attacks against international commercial shipping and mariners since November 19th, multiple warnings to stop, and we said very loud and clear there would be consequences, and last night there were.
And there were, and the Houthis, again, have not done anything directly. They're threatening so. Their streets, I saw a picture from one city in Yemen, wall-to-wall people, all basically yelling chants that probably amounted to death to America. Now, there is this fact that cannot be denied. Whenever you have to go to war, then somewhere along the line, as in the words of General Spaulding, retired Air Force Brigadier General Spaulding, something did not work that should have.
Every time that we drop a bomb or pull a trigger, it's a policy failure. And in this case, what happened was 3 years ago, the administration said they were going to stop supporting the Saudis' war against the Houthis. Even worse, they cozied up to Iran. So Iran is supporting Hamas, the Houthis, Hezbollah, despite their interest in supporting any terrorist group with a name starting with H. I think what we have to realize, we're spending blood and treasure, probably over $100 million for this operation alone. Our forces are getting attacked, and it's all because of failed policy decisions.
Failed policy decisions mean we have nothing left to do except show that we're minute and use force. Again, Major Jack King, four-star general, I should say, retired, said it's not enough to go after Yemen and the Houthis inside Yemen, not enough to go after Hezbollah in Lebanon or even Hamas in Gaza. We need to go to the source.
And then we got to remind ourselves what's really happening here. The center of gravity for the aggression in the Middle East that we're experiencing is Iran. We have said this time and time and time again. And to deter the proxies themselves by hitting them will not be sufficient. We have got to go after Iran. They are, as I mentioned, the center of gravity. CENTCOM has a table of targets that they have provided to the administration and how to go about doing that comprehensively to shut down their support for these proxies. That has got to be high on our list. And what that really means, Brian, is we've got to reset the strategy in dealing with Iran in the region and admit the fact that this thing has failed. When they came in, they removed the Trump sanctions. Iran's flush with oil money now as a result of it. They went after the nuclear deal. That failed. They were unwilling to confront Iran. They believed that the previous administration's use of the military was too muscular, and we had to make a major diplomatic effort. Well, the diplomatic effort with Iran has gotten us nowhere. It's shown us weakness. They see it as vulnerability and opportunity, and they've taken advantage of it.
Yeah, so you muscle up again. Pop them in the face again and again. Coming up, my special guest today, Vic Porcelli. This is going to be fun and engaging. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. So, as always, be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for us covering the local and global.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 1019 941
and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Ackerman Toyota had a great 2023, so Jay asked me to thank you for all of your support. Loyal customers making Ackerman Toyota number one in St. Louis Toyota sales. Number one out of the 75 Toyota dealers in the region in Camry and Corolla sales. Ackerman has the lowest prices, great selection. Visit Ackerman at Hampton and 44 or online, AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
This is News Talk STL.
I've been holding it so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you. I've been hanging on the phone. I've been sleeping all alone. I won't miss you.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back, and I'm glad to have my next guest. I appear often with him on his program in the morning, Vic Porcelli, and his producer, Thunder Stealing Ken. We call him that because whenever Vic's going to come up with something he thinks is a really smart, great statement, Ken beats him to it. Vic, welcome aboard.
Thank you, Mr. Connors. Good to have you.
Oh, Mr. Connors now? Go ahead.
Oh, Larry, sorry. But the thing is that we call it Thunder Stealer, but Ken was going to have a better idea than me, so I got to say something other than, hey, Ken's going to have a better idea than me.
Well, you guys make a great team, and I should remind everyone, you guys won the Missouri State Broadcasters Award this year.
Yes, thank you, Larry. We really appreciate that. 1,000 entries, and we ended up coming in first. You know, Ken has everything to do with that, you know, because he put the show together, and it's, you know, it's him that makes the show roll.
Is this where I bring up the question of voter fraud?
No. Something else.
Just thought I'd ask you. So I've got some things I want to go over. And again, I always enjoy being on your show every Friday morning. It's a lot of fun. Sometimes we accomplish something, and sometimes we accomplish even more. But it's always good. Never a strikeout, is it?
Never, ever. Always good to have you on there. I mean, you know, you've been in this town for so long, and you've got so much great experience and great stories, and the people want to hear them.
Well, thank you. I always appreciate the opportunity. It gives me a chance to show another side. So here's something I want to get into with you. First of all, I'm going to ask you directly. Do you believe man walked on the moon?
I do.
Okay.
You don't?
I do. But here's what's happened. NASA was going to have a moon landing later this year, maybe 24 at the earliest. Well, we are 24. Maybe 25 at the earliest. Now they say they're pushing it back to 2026. So conspiracy theories are raining online, one skeptic claiming the space agency can't figure out how they did it the first time, another one saying there's no way they're going to fake another moon landing, and another one says, the way these guys are preparing to land on the moon, it seems like the first time they've actually planned a moon trip. In other words, there are many out there that still believe it's all done on a Hollywood set somewhere.
You know, they made a movie, Larry, called Capricorn 1, O.J. Simpson was in it, if you remember, right?
Yeah, I do. I've forgotten that. And what was the name of it again? You broke up when you said that.
Capricorn One.
Capricorn One. Thanks. Thank you.
And the whole gist of that movie was that it was fake, and they wanted to kill these guys so they couldn't let the story. It was like a mafia theme almost.
Right. Now, the thing then, though, and I'd raised this with the audience earlier, with the lack of confidence, credibility we have in our government now, if we'd had that same lack of confidence and credibility as a nation, which we didn't have then, but we'd had at that point when they were claiming it would land it on the moon, how do you think it would have been received in that environment?
Well, you know, it's funny. I guess technology's got to fit into this conversation, right? We're talking about 1969 technology, and now 2024 technology. We have the whole AI conversation.
Okay, I don't want to do the 2024. I want to stay in 69, but take our political opinion, divisiveness, and lack of government trust and move that back to 69 and say go ahead.
69, the 60s were pretty turbulent as it was, you know, I mean, with the Vietnam War and everything. But, you know, it's like when I heard that people thought we didn't walk on the moon, I was like, really? With all that work, all those scientists, all that, you know, because they can put something on Mars, right? They can make a rover go to Mars. You think about the smartest people in the world, Larry, work at NASA. How can they make something land on another thing, which we're moving, they're moving? You know, it just amazes me. But I don't think it was fake, and I don't think they would have thought it was fake at any point in time, even with the device.
You know, I meant to ask Mike Ferguson's co-host today, because Gabe Pfeiffer is a rocket scientist, and to get his reaction, yeah.
Right. It's funny, I always say that when Gabe's at his rocket scientist job and they can't figure something out, he goes, come on, it's not radio.
I love it. Something else I want to get into. Well, let me wrap up a couple political points here very quickly. Nancy Pelosi is taking exception, even when a CNN anchor said, most, even in your party, don't see any way that Trump doesn't win. And she said, oh, I don't think most of us. That's not true. Well, I'm sure maybe in her mind it's not most, but there are many Democrats have said, we can't beat Trump. We don't have a candidate.
So are they saying that because, hey, if he's going to win, maybe we should work with him instead of fighting him? You know, maybe we can be energy independent again? You know, but as far as Pelosi's comment goes, you know, she was the one that told us just last week how appreciative we should be of Joe Biden and all the opportunities he's given us, right?
So, yep.
Who knows how much she drank before she talked anyway.
So. Well, she also mentioned in this interview, she said, I know some people are kind of hurting and everything, but we're going to get there. We're going to be able to make it happen. We just need a little more time, like another 4 years.
No. I mean, here's the thing, Larry. Biden, the entire Democrat Party, the only thing they wanted to do was the opposite of Trump, whether it was a good idea or a bad idea. Clearly, they were all bad ideas, right? They shut down the XL Keystone Pipeline and the Circle K gas station in Aspen went from $1.81 up to almost $4, right? So, but Trump had it going, and Trump had, so we have to do everything opposite of what he did. So we had no, look at the border, Larry. It's because Trump kept people out, that was bad. So they had to let people in. So it didn't matter if it was a good idea or a bad idea. They had to do the exact opposite of what Trump did, no matter what.
Well, as usual, as you well know, once your program is over, various stories begin to break. And the word came out today. Yeah. Word came out today that in the last 3.5 months the first 3.5 months of the fiscal year, the last 3.5 months of last year, agents have apprehended a record-shattering 16,000 Chinese men who illegally entered between ports of entry. That means they did not go to a port of entry and cross with others. They were coming across in the dark of night trying to get by.
Right. And out of those 16,000 Chinese, how many of them do you think are spies? I think it's 16,000.
I tend to agree with you. I do. Now, you should know this. Something else had happened after you wrapped your program today. The Senate GOP leadership has a draft border deal with the White House that would reward illegal migration and encourage more foreign graduates to take jobs from American graduates, and that's from the Immigration Accountability Project.
Well, you know, somebody who listens to our show, Larry, sent me a tweet this is kind of the same thing of what you're talking about, but a little bit different. How migrants, right? Illegal aliens are getting benefits and health care over veterans.
Yep.
Right? The people who fight for this country and put their life on the line for this country are not getting the care that they need, but we're giving it to people that are here illegally. It all ties into the same thing. Why are we giving it to people? It wouldn't even bother me if they gave it to people who came here and waited in line and took the test and raised their hand and took the oath, but they're not. But veterans, I think, should get the priority and the preference over everyone, myself included.
You know, there's the head of the Immigration Accountability Project phrased it this way. The Republicans got played by the Democrats. Republicans went to the auto shop to get their car fixed, walk out with a broken cup holder. That's pretty good.
You know what? I think that's great. That's a great line. But I think now's the time for Republicans really to get together and not pussyfoot around stuff and put people to the fire, like Hunter Biden and these illegal, and Mayorkas, who's letting all these illegal aliens
in. Yes.
What are we waiting for? What is the problem?
I'm in agreement with you. I mean, I'm ready to tar and feather him already, and it should have been done long before now. But now comes word that Trump is losing support in New Hampshire since November. Nikki Haley has gained support at the same time. This is an Emerson College survey released just late yesterday. Trump with 44% support among Republican primary voters in the Granite City state. He had 49%. Haley was at 18. She's up to 28%. Do you think there's going to be a way for them to work together or not?
Well, let me go back a step. Why is this happening? I think a lot of this is happening because of their governor, Chris Sununu, right, who is a never-Trumper all the way,
right,
has endorsed Nikki Haley, and Haley's great, and Trump is terrible. But Bongino brought up a great point on his show earlier today when he said if Trump wins Iowa, which I'm thinking he's going to, DeSantis may drop out then. And then where's his support going to go? To Nikki Haley? I don't think so. Over to Trump, which is what Bongino said, and I tend to agree with that.
I think
Trump will be fine in Iowa. I think he'll be fine in New Hampshire. I think he'll be the 45th and 47th president.
All right, one other thing, and I find this very interesting, and this is for a lot of folks who like to know the breed of their dog and the history. You got a new dog. You took it from a shelter, so gave it this dog a new life, and you wanted to know exactly the makeup. Very quickly, what did you do?
Well, there's a company called Wisdom, and you take this cotton swab and you stick it in the dog's mouth and you send it off to them, and they send you the results on all the different breeds, right?
Yeah.
So, Sally, you know, this dog was hours away from euthanized, from being euthanized.
Thank God.
She's the most beautiful, greatest dog ever, and she's 43% Great Pyrenees, gigantic breed, 18% Great Dane. She's going to be like 150 pounds, and that's fine. Because I love big dogs and I love her. It's called Wisdom if you want to find out the lineage of.
And you're going to have to pick up a lot of big stuff out in the backyards. Somebody is. And didn't you also send in a picture? And wanted to see.
Okay. So we wanted to make sure we weren't getting scammed, right? Because you don't know if the dog's DNA. I don't even think the human ancestry thing. I think that's a bit of a scam. But anyway. So we didn't want to get scammed and say, oh, and upload a picture of your dog to our site. So we uploaded a picture of our chihuahua. Just so they didn't scam us. And they didn't, obviously. So.
Well, maybe your chihuahua is a different breed than what you thought.
You know what? Here's our three dogs in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Kism's a good boy. Sally's a good girl. And Tito just says, we don't need those stinking badgers.
Hey, thanks always, Vic. Look forward to seeing you next week. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, too. I really appreciate the time.
You bet. Vic Perfecelli and Ken Williamson every morning. Coming up, something that is happening that is absolutely incensing. And I say put a stop to it.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers can help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself, mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me, on Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
One of the five most traumatic experiences in life is moving. I can assure you that McGuire Moving can help ease that pressure. Moving into a new home or a new business, locally, internationally, McGuire is rated number one. More than 80 years of experience. Free estimate, call McGuire, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. Here are a couple stories that I am absolutely burning up over because we don't have to be in this situation. One is immigration, which we were discussing with Vic a moment ago, and I reported on this to some extent in the first hour. Reminding you, by the way, any part of any program you miss, either when it's on the air or some of our video that we're streaming, you can always go to Larry Connors, USA.com. It'll be posted as a video and or audio podcast for you. You can also go to Larry Connors USA Facebook and get the same thing. And then when you do, two things. One, you can push subscribe. Costs you nothing. We just automatically make sure it gets sent to you. And we do not sell your information. And two, you can share it with others. Push the button share so others can get part of this conversation and get involved. We need everyone involved going into the 2024 election. Even if your candidate you think has no chance of winning, you should be voting. If you think your candidate is going to run away with it, you don't need to be there. No, you should still be voting. And we want good, fair elections. So here's what's happening with the White House and the Senate GOP draft border deal. We were talking about this with Vic a moment ago as to how bad it is, as the Immigration Accountability Project said this is going to reward legal migration, illegal migration, I should say, and encourage more foreign graduates to take jobs from American graduates. Increase green cards by 50,000 a year. Immediate work permits to every illegal alien once released from custody. I don't need to go into more, but right there's some deals that, as you heard Vic refer to and we have before, Americans aren't getting this kind of help. Americans are suffering. Best thing for them to say they want to go see a dying relative, well, they're going to have to be able to buy a plane ticket if it's that far away. They're going to have an ID. They're going to have money. If you're an illegal, no. If you're an illegal and you come across the Tucson sector, you go to the airport, you want to fly somewhere, they take all the illegals to one side and, quote, process them, just write down a name for them, give them a ticket to let them get on a plane and go somewhere. They don't pay for it. Then they show up in those communities and they suck up resources intended for Americans living there. And generally, they're going to settle inside minority communities. They feel more at home. And on one hand, that's understandable. St. Louis has a large population of Bosnians, and they tend to congregate in one area, but now gradually, over generations, they begin to move out and learn and get, you know, other neighborhoods to assimilate. That's what your great-great-grandfathers did, and so did mine when they came here. They gradually end up assimilating with others. That's what makes our country so great. We share culture, food, music, ideas. But the fear is that too many of them are coming across the border to cause havoc, even if it's nothing more than chaos of taking away jobs, and in one case underway now up in New York because of heavy threatening weather up there, take all the illegals out of a tent city they built, put them into schools, and tell the school students you have to learn at home through Zoom. Now, it might be because the storm was going to be so bad, students wouldn't be at school anyway. They could make that case. But this is what they're always looking to do. Take whatever Americans have, work for, and just give it to those who just arrived and did not work for it. Here's another issue from the World Health Organization. Remember, the World Health Organization bought into the COVID story because China told them that we weren't responsible. It came from a wet food market. Remember that? And, of course, Dr. Fake Fauci went along with it, saying, yeah, that's where it came from. And he's the same one who yesterday I told you he admitted that distancing, like when you would go into a restaurant, remember the things that are on the floor? Some still have them, 6 to 8 feet difference, distance between the other one. You're supposed to stand on that spot. You do not move to the next spot until that person leaves their spot. And he said that was not based on scientific evidence. No kidding. We were all saying that anyway. He's also one that said originally, you won't need a mask. They're not going to be that needed, that big of a deal, period. You won't need it. And he later admitted, oh, I lied about that because I was worried we didn't have enough to help our first responders and healthcare professionals. Didn't want them all sucked up. Well, if we didn't have enough, that's on your back as well, Dr. Fake. You were in charge for enough years. You should have made sure there were stockpiles that would accommodate everyone. And then he switched and said, now everybody has to wear one. They'll protect you. Oh, now we got a vaccine. You don't need the mask, just get the vaccine. Well, you may need also get the vaccine, get the mask. Well, you may need to get a booster. May get it two boosters and still double mask. There are people still walking around with these masks, and that is up to you. And if they have a health issue, I pray for them. But some of them, it's just become routine to walk around for it. And I will make a note of this, and criminals know it. Those masks are a legitimate way to conceal themselves. Bank I go to has a sign, no sunglasses, no hat, no mask, please. They were talking about bank robbery. Well, if I want to go in now with a hat, glasses, and a mask, they can't stop me. I'm worried about COVID. But here's what's happening with the World Health Organization. It is giving transgender activists a majority of the seats in a panel that is currently drafting health care policies for children. Let transgenders have the majority of the seats. One of the supposed experts displays a tattoo that reads, "Be gay, do crimes." Now, I know a lot of gay people. They're not involved in any gays and in any crimes, and they're not for pushing this in front of children. 11 members of the World Health Organization's 21-member panel have no formal medical training. None. And 7 are identifying clearly as transgender. 10 of them do have a medical background. That's according to the Daily Mail. One of them is reportedly a controversial Canadian trans activist who has a strong influence on the Chinese app TikTok, and says puberty blockers should be prescribed to all children regardless of their gender identity, so they then can choose their gender other than being assigned by society. Do not let us go farther down this road. Start putting up blockades. Turn it away. Save our children today, tomorrow, and the next day. This mixture of the rest of the panel, they're activists, social justice advocates, human rights lawyers, policy advisors. Then a biological male who identifies as a female and goes by the pronouns, they, them, that, be, ich, is the one that has a tattoo, be gay, do crimes. He's also written a study claiming puberty blockers and hormone therapies ought to be treated as a default option for children who have gender dysphoria. In other words, if there's a child who's truly concerned about their gender, they don't need any medical treatment. Just put them on puberty blockers. That should be the default. Go right to that. That'll take care of everything. The head of the World Health Organization insists these guidelines on trans issues will focus on adults only, not the use of hormones, suppressants, or surgeries on children. But still, I just read to you from members on that panel, they're already talking about puberty blockers should be a standard way to treat them. And one of the committee members insists transitioning children causes no health issues, claiming the actual side effects are significantly improved quality of life and trans joy. We never should be at this place in our world. How did we get here? We lost our moral compass. We lost all reference to God, religion, and what things are right and what God ordained. And I'm not trying to be a biblical theocrat for you. I'm just simply saying it's a fact. It's a fact of what was, what's now being ignored. And it would lay belt laughable except for the fact children are the ones caught in the middle. And that's the part that just distressing beyond all. All right, well, I got that rant out, but I'm not done yet. No. Hunter Biden is doing something. Listen to this one coming up. Hunter Biden reversing course as of today and saying, I will agree to give closed-door testimony to Congress if the House Oversight Judiciary Committees issue new subpoenas. He had a subpoena. He ignored it. In fact, he showed up on the day they were supposed to be in Congress, went outside the Senate side and talked to news reporters about how bad everything was for him, and he was really a good guy. His lawyer, Abby Lowell, made the offer to the Oversight Committee Chair Comer and Jordan. They've led the investigations into the Biden family and impeachment inquiry into President Biden at this point. And Lowell wrote, you have not explained why you're not interested in transparency and having the American people witness the full and complete testimony of Mr. Biden at a public hearing. If you issue a new proper subpoena, now that there is a duly authorized impeachment inquiry, Mr. Biden will comply for a hearing or deposition, and we will accept a subpoena on his behalf. You see what they're playing again here. He wanted his entire deposition to be in public as a public hearing. When Congress members are holding a hearing, each member gets a certain allotted amount of time to ask a question. If another member wants to yield their time to that Congress member, then they get to have additional time. But many times you get 5 minutes in and you hit a big subject you want to follow up and suddenly your time's out. And the other side gets to ask a question. And they're not going to be anywhere near the question that got left hanging. And when it gets back to the side that wants the question answered, maybe they'll get a chance to restart it, or maybe they'll go another direction. Now, of course, when he did not show up for that closed-door deposition, which, by the way, again, a deposition, if you've ever been in one, and I've been in a few, it is boring in so many ways. Your name, sir? Larry Connors. How do you spell that? And your age? 23. Okay. And your address? They never stopped me. So I guess, oh, could I be found guilty of perjury for saying that? Not if I think I'm 23, right? I mean, if I think I can be a woman, I think I can be 23. I think, therefore I am. So anyway, the Republicans passed a resolution to advance one that would hold Hunter Biden in contempt of Congress because he did not show up. Well, you know what happened, of course, earlier this week? He did show up. He showed up while a hearing is underway as they were debating a measure at that time on dealing with him. The House vote had been scheduled for next week, and at that point, the Department of Justice could decide whether or not it would bring charges against Hunter Biden. I would not hold my breath waiting for the Justice Department to do anything that might involve the Bidens whatsoever. So far, it's unclear if the House and Oversight are going to issue new ones. Some are saying, we don't need to. We already issued one. He should have responded to that. And we could still get him on a contempt charge. And the fact that he basically, as it was described when he showed up at the hearing the other day on Wednesday, as one member of Congress said, here you are spitting in our face. You come in here with your attorneys and you sit there smugly and you defy our subpoena to appear. They were going to have a public hearing anyway. He was going to do the deposition behind closed doors so a lot of the inane items could be whittled down and get him on record about saying something. And then you hold the public hearing. And if he starts trying to change his story in the public hearing, that's when you hold up. See this document right here? This right here shows you said this to that answer. What happened? Well, he might end up doing like Dr. Fauci. I don't remember that much about the early days of COVID. Yeah, Fauci said that. He said that in about 140 plus times. And then previously when Missouri and the state of Louisiana were suing the government for information and collaboration between the government, health agencies, and various social media, he claimed 174 times. I just don't remember. You can't get somebody on perjury if they say, I don't remember. It's better than the fifth when you get down to it. You might want a fifth when it's over with. But Hunter Biden now deciding, I will appear for a closed-door session. Riddle me this. What do you think brought Hunter Biden to this position? I've got an idea I'm going to share with you. If you had not heard the remarks made earlier this week by a couple members of Congress when Hunter showed up, you're going to think Larry is so vile and nasty, I'm not going to listen at all. Or you're going to think, I'm going to listen all the time. I like that idea. Let's go with that one. Hunter Biden is sitting there, and I guess after he was a couple of Congress members made some remarks, I guess he decided, well, I'm going to come back and prove they're wrong. He wants to come back in there and prove to Marjorie Taylor Greene, who called him coward, because he wouldn't stay in. Going to come back and say, see, I'm not a coward. And to Senator, I mean, Congresswoman Mace, he's going to prove, I do have balls. You said I have no balls. I have balls. Well, let's go deeper onto that story next week. Thank you. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.